Welcome back to the Launch School podcast. I am here with Nick Perry, a current student. Hi, Nick.
Hola.
How you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How you doing?
Good. Welcome. Thanks for spending some time to chat with us this season. It's been really nice to just hear from some current students, kind of to bridge that gap between being at the very beginning of the curriculum or not having started yet and wondering, like, how could I possibly make it to, you know, the capstone graduates that we hear from. So hearing from someone in the middle is kind of nice, like, middle step in there to get some perspective. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, like how you found Launch School, why you're here, what you're doing?
Yeah, so I guess I'll start with how I found it. This might tie into why I'm here as well. So I found Launch School because I was looking into a career switch. And originally, I was thinking of going back to school. And there were two options that came to mind. I was thinking of going into more of the IT side of things. Or getting into software engineering. And I was kind of bouncing back and forth between the idea of the two. And I actually talked to a friend of mine who works as a software engineer. And I sought out his opinion. And I asked him, you know, like, what do you think? You're a software engineer. You know guys in the tech field as well. What's your opinion? What do you think I should pursue? And he said with IT, it's probably a little bit easier to get into. But with software engineering, while it's, you know, harder, the ceiling is much higher and you can take it a lot farther. And he can't speak more highly of his work. He loves it. He loves his work-life balance, loves everything about it. Every time I talk to him, he can't say more than enough good things about how much he enjoys it. So I thought I'd give it a shot. And from there, I started looking into different programs. I didn't want to go back to like university setting. I didn't like the idea of doing a four-year degree, you know, in computer sciences. So I was looking into different things like boot camps and whatnot. And as I was going through, you know, a couple of Reddit threads, I found Launch School and I found their subreddit. And from there, I checked out the website and started looking into it a little bit more. And I really fell in love with their overall pedagogy. You know, talking about the path to mastery, the slow path to learning. And it really, really spoke out to me. And I noticed that they did a free prep course. And so I thought, well, why not? It's free. I don't like it. I mostly invested it with some time. Let's give it a shot. And so I went through the prep course and I think that took me about 2 or 3 months. I was taking it a little bit slower and I think that was April of 2022 when I started it. And yeah, after going through the prep course, I was hooked. I loved the way they, you know, taught everything, the way they presented the information. I loved the use of examples and how they encouraged us to go along with the coding examples and play along with it. I thought it was all fantastic. And so I took a month off because I got married the August of that year and had a bunch of family and friends in town. So I took the month off and then jumped into core that September. And yeah, ever since I've just been hooked. I love it. It's been a wild but very, very fun ride so far.
Awesome. Where are you at in the curriculum now? You're in the front end, right?
Yeah, I just started the front end. I'm in the second course, LS216. I'm actually preparing for the interview assessment for that right now. Hopefully going to take it pretty soon here. And yeah, it's been fun. JavaScript is definitely an interesting language.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, you're more than halfway through. How does that feel? Like if you look back at where you started versus where you're at now, do you think that there's any insight in how you've changed, like not just technically, but also like as a person?
Yeah, it honestly feels a little bit surreal. I feel like I'm much more confident in myself at this point than I was when I started. And it's also like, surreal because I have one coding language under my belt now. We learned Ruby. Obviously not like, I don't consider myself a Rubyist. I'm not a master at it. But, you know, I felt pretty proficient at it by the time I finished the back end. And now I'm learning JavaScript. And to me, that was just, it's crazy to me to think about because I remember when I first started learning Ruby and just, you know, coding in general, it was tough and, you know, came with its hurdles, but very, very fun. And to go from those feelings of like, you know, wow, this is tough. I'm not sure if I can do this. I've never done anything like this before, to wow, now I'm learning my second language. I'm moving on to the front end portion. And, you know, I picked up JavaScript, you know, fairly quickly. Again, not to mastery, but enough to be, you know, fairly proficient at it. It's just crazy to think about that. You know, that was, what, a year and a half ago, maybe I started to get to this point. And yeah, because I didn't think I'd be able to do it when I first started. So, you know, to kind of prove myself wrong, again, it's pretty surreal.
Well, and before we go into kind of like your experiences at the beginning of the curriculum, just a little bit more background on you. You're working full time, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm working full time, 4 days a week, but 12-hour shifts except for Wednesdays. Those are my short day, only 6 hours. And then get Friday, Saturday, Sunday off.
Uh-huh. So when do you study? Do you just study on your 3 days off?
I make time to study during the week as well. So typically I won't start work until a bit later in the day. So I work from 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. And I'll typically make some time early in the morning. So I'll get up at 7 or 8, you know, depending on how well rested I feel. And I'll make a couple hours study time in the morning. Thankfully, with my job, I do have some downtime at some points during the day where I can put in another hour or two. And that really helps. And then during my days off, that's when I hammer out probably the most of my study time. Fridays, I could put in probably 5-6 hours, maybe more if it's split up. And then Saturdays, Sundays, you should probably another 3 or 4.
So not definitely a part-time student, but was feeling like you weren't going to be able to do this. You mentioned that. Was that more about like your abilities as a person to pick up technical topics, or was that more about like the time that you have available to commit?
I think it was more so to do with my abilities and capabilities as a person, and not so much the time. I wasn't concerned about not being able to put in the time. I think self-discipline was an issue for me as well. In the past, I wasn't a fantastic student. I'd probably actually say I was a pretty terrible one. terrible study habits, terrible self-discipline, and pushing myself to study every day. So that was a big concern for me as well. But I really took this as a challenge to challenge myself and prove to myself that, you know, hey, you're not such a bad student after all, you know. And just give it a shot.
That's,
you know,
great.
Worst you can do is not make it, right? If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. There's other things out there. And just figured, you know, give it a shot. What's the worst that can happen? Worst can happen, you have to find something else. Best that can happen is you get a career in software engineering and something that you really like. So far, so good.
Yeah, you could have fooled me. I mean, making it to the front-end curriculum in, I think you said, like a year and a half while working a full-time job. That's pretty impressive. That seems like you've definitely turned the tables on self-discipline.
Thank you.
So
yeah,
I want to talk about...
It was tough to do. It's easier now that I've established, you know, different habits. But at the beginning, it was definitely a shock, like jumping into cold water, something like that.
Yeah. Let's talk about your experience at the beginning of the curriculum. So when I reached out to students, of course, I was just interested in hearing about people's unique experiences. And one of the things that I think people really like to hear about that people aren't always willing to talk about is receiving a not yet on an assessment or not passing an assessment. And you said that you'd be happy to talk about your experience. So do you want to tell us about your not yet, what happened, which assessment it was on, and why you think it happened?
Yeah. So I got my not yet on the RB-109 interview assessment. I think it was actually with you. Yeah. And as to why it happened, I don't know. I felt like I prepared really, really well for that assessment. I studied a lot. I went to a ton of spot sessions, did a lot of coding, like live coding practice in front of other students, in front of spot leads. I attended TA-led study sessions. And I think the biggest factor was just not knowing what to expect with the first mm-hmm. interview assessment. I wasn't taking into account how nervous I would feel. And I think what happened was, you know, when I look back on it, is I was so nervous. And I think those nerves weren't coming from a place of feeling unprepared. I think it was, you know, I don't really get test anxiety in the first place. I got that a lot during university when going into exams. And I think all those feelings of being a terrible student, you know, how I struggled in university and how I struggled with exams back then all kind of resurfaced. And it was hard to kind of like move past that and realize like, you know, that's in the past. That's not who you are anymore. Mm-hmm. It just like jacked up my anxiety like crazy. Like, I remember sitting here 5 minutes before the interview time, had my headphones on. Prior to that, I'd gone for a walk. I was hanging out with my dog, just chilling out in the lawn, just doing anything to try and, you know, keep my nerves steady and, you know, keep myself calm. But when it came time to it, man, like I was sitting here 5 minutes before, headphones on, and all I could hear was just my heart pounding in my chest. You know, it felt like I was about to like jump out of a plane and go skydiving or something like that. Like just this crazy level of anxiety for me. And like, cause I'm afraid of heights. So that's what I kind of equate that feeling to. And I was just like, man, like, I don't know how I can, you know, chill myself out. You know, my calming music isn't working. These breathing exercises I've like learned aren't working. Hanging out with my dog didn't work. Like, I just can't get my nerves to calm down. And yeah, it was really tough to overcome that. And I remember even reflecting on it after the interview. And I had a good feeling like I didn't pass. Like, I pretty much knew it right off the bat. And I figured, like, man, like, I need to figure out a way to overcome these nerves and calm myself down. I think that was the biggest contributor to it. And, yeah, it was tough. But I think what ended up happening is the way I handled that was I have a bunch of really good friends here at Long School now. I mean, I've met a ton of real cool people. But at the time, there was a spot lead, and he's a good friend of mine now, Matisse. And I'd done a bunch of spot sessions with him. And he reached out to me the next day after the interview, asked me how it went. And, you know, I told him, man, I'm pretty sure I didn't pass. You know, I told him kind of what happened, how just like I couldn't get over my nerves and just really, really struggled throughout the whole thing. And we met up on the weekend. We had a video call and we discussed it further in depth. And he said, you know, that's unfortunate. But, you know, you reminded me how capable I am and how well I've done on our live coding interviews. And, you know, it's not a matter of skill. Like, it's not a skill issue. It's you couldn't calm yourself down. Nerves have a real big impact on performance. If you can't handle them, you know, it happens. And he was a big part in keeping level-headed and keeping my, my confidence high. He kind of brought me back to earth and said, you know, hey, you can do this. Just handle the nerves. You can handle the nerves like it's going to be easy peasy. And it turned out that was the case. I rebooked the interview, you know, as soon as I could. Attended more spot sessions, did more live coding. And the second time around, it was like night and day difference. I remember like just how nervous I was the first time. The second time, I was just thinking of it as this is just another spot session. This is another study, like another study session with a friend. I don't even think I could hear my pulse at that point. It was it just went much, much smoother. And yeah, huge shout out to Matisse. Thank you so much. I know I've thanked you already, but that was a big part in keeping level headed and keeping my confidence high.
That's great. It's so interesting because there's so many flavors of not yet. Like if you're going to get a not yet, it's like walking up to like an ice cream parlor and like picking which kind. And in the case of, well, first of all, before we go into that, just to be clear, the 109 that you're talking about is before the split. So you're talking about the 109D, meaning that your first ever interview at Launch School was a technical live coding challenge.
Yeah.
So we've remedied that a little bit by splitting it up. So now there's like a much more mellow interview as your first one. And I think that kind of helps with the nerves. But so we're talking about a technical interview, like coding problem solving challenges. What's interesting is that a lot of people who will struggle with that, will get a not yet, have the skills, just like you're saying, like very few people go in genuinely just not being able to solve the problem. You know, that's kind of its own issue. But for people that have the skills, sometimes it's just that they haven't practiced with other people. But you had, like you had coded in front of people and solved a bunch of problems in front of your peers. So you didn't necessarily have just that I'm nervous to code in front of someone. It was just purely the fact that you were being assessed. It wasn't, you know, a lack of having done it in front of people, which is definitely a flavor that we get. It's like, okay, you have to go and do this in front of people. So how did you approach remedying that? Because I don't think just telling yourself to calm down is, you know, an approach. Yeah, what did you do to fix that?
Yeah, I just throughout the time in between booking the assessment and actually doing it, I just kept telling myself, like, you're just setting up another day to code with a friend. And I tried to shift that mindset of, you know, a TA, they're marking me, they're assessing me, they're judging me. I really tried to remind myself, you know, hey, they're there to support you. They want you to pass. They don't want you to fail. And the more I reminded myself that, the better it got. And the more I told myself, just treat it like another study session. That's basically, it's almost the exact same, except you just get a mark on it. But don't think about the mark. Just, it's another study session. You're coding in front of someone. And that's it. And I think, you know, the mindset is, it's really, really important. Because previously, like the previous attempt, all I could think about was how it was being marked, how important it is to pass, you know, how, like, if I don't pass this, I'm not going to, you know, get into the career I want. And I was putting all this extra pressure on myself. And it just was, did such a disservice to me. Whereas this one, I just tried to keep myself, you know, much more relaxed, tried to take the pressure off and think about it in more of a casual way. Like, yeah, I'm getting marked, but, you know, you know, trying to push that to the back of my mind. And when I started feeling those feelings of, like, anxiety again. I actually remember talking to JD Fortune about something, and it was about like the similarity and feelings between excitement and anxiety, and how there's kind of like a line you cross where the excitement turns into those anxious feelings. And he mentioned a book, and I can't remember like the finer details, but essentially it was like, if you can convince yourself like those feelings of anxiety are excitement, you know, you could probably, it's probably like a much more positive outlook for it. And so I really try to do that and like, you know, and say, hey, you're just getting excited. You know, maintain your excitement, you know, don't go crazy with it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, keep your excitement in check, man. And then it went much, much better. And yeah, I think to kind of put it into perspective, like how much better it went. I think the first attempt, it took the full hour. The second one I finished in half an hour. And
wow,
it like cut the time in half. It flowed like so smoothly. And I remember checking the time after. I was like, oh wow. I was like, crazy. Yeah, we were already done. And yeah, it's really just, you know, changing my mindset, sticking to my guns, like knowing like I have the skills, rely on those skills, and yeah, just try and take the pressure off yourself, because yeah, putting that pressure on, I think it's gonna do more bad than good.
It's almost an illustration of why we have the interviews, because it seems like technically speaking, you could have gone through the entirety of the core curriculum with no issues, right? Like the not yet happened because of this, you know, being put on the spot, like time to perform issue. So you could have gone through, if we didn't have these interviews, perfectly fine. But at the end, when you try and get a job, that's when this, you know, when this would have happened, this issue of like freezing, you know, and, you know, kind of bombing it in a way. So now I think you know, and are still working on, like, you're soon going to have another technical interview. So it's working on those skills that are going to be able to make it so that not only do you have the technical skills, but that you can perform under pressure, you know, when it's not just a grade, but also like a job, you know, your livelihood in a sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm really thankful that, you know, Launch School does it this way. Cause I feel like it is preparing me for that situation, you know, when it comes time for a technical interview, you know, go on for a job, I'd rather bomb now than bomb that. So, you know, that's not to say, you know, bombing's not a possibility when that time comes, but, you know, hopefully it won't bomb as bad, you know,
and it's less of a chance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I am really thankful for it. And I really do enjoy the challenge. And, you know, since then, other technical interviews have gone very, very well. I've been tackling them the same way. So, you know, I thought of it as a learning experience as opposed to a setback. And I encourage anyone else who gets not yet to treat it the same way. You know, it sucks. Just learn from it, pick yourself back up and get back at it and go crush that thing.
Yeah. Something that struck me was that you reached out to other people. I think sometimes people will end up a bit isolated, especially because there's a bit of shame around a not yet for some people. I mean, there shouldn't be, right? But that's how people feel. So they kind of will end up like sitting in a corner and spiraling about like, oh, this isn't for me. I'm not meant to be an engineer. What am I doing here? And it just gets worse and worse and worse until they've kind of convinced themselves that this is the sign that they aren't meant to do this. So I think it's really important that you reached out to your peers, you know, you chatted with JD and kind of just put it out there to get some support from the other people who know you, who have seen you coding and communicating and have faith in you and can, you know, make you not feel so isolated and keep you out of that like loop, you know, that spiraling, the drain of doom that happens after something like a not yet.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm so thankful to, you know, all the people I've met here at Launch School so far. Like I said, I've made a lot of great friends here, and then I hope to maintain those relationships, you know, even once we're off their core and capstone and, you know, establish ourselves in our careers. So shout out to all of them. You know, AJ, Esther, Trisha, Cruz, Matisse, all you guys are fantastic. I think, you know, for new students, I can't say enough about trying to reach out and make those connections with your peers. It's going to help you so much. You know, it's helped me a bunch. I think that's probably one of the biggest things that's contributed to my success so far. So yeah, you know, reach out to people, make friends, make study buddies, keep in touch, even if like you advance past them or they advance past you, you know. It's just, yeah, I can't say enough of how important it is, and it's only going to benefit you.
And this is something that you started at Launch School. I get the feeling you said you weren't a great student. So I don't imagine that in your previous education, you were like scheduling study sessions with big groups of people and, you know, being kind of like a leader on the scene. So this is all new to you, right?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't a great student in university. And you know, that probably stems back from like high school. I don't know. I used to feel like for lack of a better word, I felt dumb. Like I just wasn't a very smart person. And I think a lot of that has to do with, I just don't do well with the teaching style in most of the university courses. There was one course in particular that I excelled at, I shouldn't say one course in particular. It was courses taught by a specific professor, Mr. Brandenburg. I can't remember his first name, but his teaching style really resonated with me. It wasn't just, you know, throwing up the slides on the projector, going through them and having us read the textbook in our downtime. You know, he set us up in groups. He had us chat with our groups about the stuff we were learning about, go through all these group exercises. And it actually, like when I think about it, it reminds me a lot of spot sessions. And I excelled in his classes in particular because I felt like I learned much, much better in those settings. And I think about that now, it's like, well, why couldn't I have treated every single course like that? But Yeah, for whatever reason, so stepping back to high school, you know, I had a couple teachers who made me feel like I just, you know, wasn't that smart. And then those feelings, I just kind of bought into them and turned out to not be a very great student, didn't have great study habits, didn't really have much self-discipline in that area. And I thought when I started law school, it was going to be more of the same, but I really challenged myself to change that and change my mindset. And I still don't feel like I'm the smartest guy around, but obviously have enough skills to make it this far. So, it's like I said, it's been very fun. It's been a wild ride.
Yeah, I think that everyone at launch school, at least that I know of, whether or not they get a not yet, whether or not they, you know, succeed to the fullest extent that they think they can, I think everyone here deals with at some point having those feelings of like, oh, I'm dumb. And it's just, it's, you know, it's the nature of learning something that's really difficult. But it's good to have a plan and it's good to have people to lean on.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know much about imposter syndrome until I started doing the smooth start leads. And once I found out what it was, I was like, oh, wow, I definitely, you know, suffered from that. And then it was even more surprising how many other people also suffered from that, because, you know, I just automatically assume every person I've met here at law school, like, you know, oh, this is getting into software engineering, they must be smart. And then just to hear that from people like who have felt that same way, who I consider very bright and intelligent, it's like, okay, it's not abnormal to feel this way.
Yeah, that's great. I wanted to talk about that because you went from, you know, getting a not yet to being a spot session lead and even a smooth start lead, which is kind of like even a step above that. What inspired you to become a spot lead? And, you know, why did you do that? And how was that experience?
Yeah, so what kind of inspired me was, you know, having all the great spot leads who were there for me as I went through 101, or I guess 101D. Like I said, spot sessions really, really helped me learn and helped develop my understanding and help my preparation for the written and the interview assessments. And, you know, I thought it was just so cool that, you know, these were people who were further ahead. They're volunteering their time to help us, you know, work through it and help us develop our understanding. And, you know, I thought it was like, all right, I want to give back to the law school community who's already done so much for me. Let me give it a shot. If I can help out people the way I've been helped out, you know, that would be, you know, insanely gratifying. And it has been. I think one of the most gratifying things I've experienced so far here at Launch School is getting a message from someone, you know, who attended a spot session saying, hey, thank you so much. You know, I really felt great about that. Or, you know, I passed my assessment and, you know, your spot sessions really, really helped. Hearing things like that, it just like gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling inside. And, it's super cool because I never imagined myself in that sort of position. Yeah. So that's what kind of inspired me. Everyone who'd done it for me, I wanted to give back to the community. And, if someone could do it for me, I want to do it for someone else.
Right. I think it's good for people to realize as new students that, the imposter syndrome and everything that them as a new student who's nervous and, you know, a bit panicky and not sure if this is for them, that, you know, the Nick Perry who's like leading their spot session and seems so confident and, oh my gosh, he knows everything about Ruby, you know, that was, you were them, you know? It's cool to share so that people can relate to you and see that we're all just normal people. Totally not confident that we're in the right place or that we can do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So anyone who's ever felt that way, you know, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it.
If I can do it, you can do it. Okay. That's all great. Do you have, any advice for folks? I mean, I know we've talked about a lot today, but do you have any other, you know, tips or tricks or whatever for people who might just be feeling, really nervous or overwhelmed or dealing with, you know, imposter syndrome or anything, especially in those first few courses?
Yeah. Take it day by day. You know, don't, for me, what's really helped is not trying to think so far into the future and just take it day by day and, you know, set small, but easily attainable goals. So for me, it's like, you know, I'm going to study. If it's a busier day, I'm going to try and study for an hour at least. Or if I know I can have a bit more time, all right, let's shoot for 2 to 3 hours. And just kind of taking it day by day like that. As for dealing with imposter syndrome, I think building up your support network is really, really important. And being able to lean on them is really, really important. You know, don't be ashamed of struggling. We all struggle. And so if you can find a bunch of people you can connect with, that you can talk about these things with, And maybe you don't even talk about them, but just, you know, hang out with them while you study just to kind of pick yourself up and, you know, pick up the mood. I think that helps as well. I always feel fantastic, you know, hanging out with other students. You know, even if we're just silently studying together, I feel like it helps me focus. I don't feel so alone. So, and I know that's kind of one of the struggles with like an online medium is that sense of loneliness. But, no, you can fill that void. You can, you know, these video calls. I mean, I'm used to this sort of thing. I'm a big online gamer, so I'm used to just being voice chat with people and, and, you know, that's kind of like our medium of being able to connect with each other. So if it's different to you, it might be a little bit tougher, I guess. But how to make those connections? That's probably my best advice. Build that support network. Make study buddies. Meet up with them on a regular basis, even if it's just like once or twice a week. Even if it's like once a month, you know, whatever you can, whatever you can fit into your schedule. Yeah, that's like I said. That's probably the biggest contributor to my success so far is building and maintaining those relationships.
People always want to know, how do you know if you're ready for an assessment? Everyone has different metrics. What do you use?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I've actually been trying to gauge how I'm ready for this assessment. Because I've done live coding practice. I've done tons of practice problems. I've gone through the course material a bunch. And I think how I'm gauging it for this one is like, okay, every time I study, it's starting to feel boring because it's like I'm not going over anything new. I understand everything. I feel well prepared. I don't, like, there's nothing more to learn. It's just like I feel like I've prepared for everything within the context of the study guide. And so at this point, I would feel ready. Now, prior to that, for, you know, different written assessments and things like that, generally what I'll do is I'll go through the study guide and I'll go through each bullet point and I'll try and actively recall as much as I can about each topic and then go back into my notes and see, okay, what did I miss? And then whatever I missed, I'll jot that down on a separate page and then review, go through my flashcards, read notes, do more practice problems, things like that, study with others. And then, you know, maybe like a week later, come back to that bullet point. Okay, how much can I actively recall now? Fill it back out. Hopefully it's more. And then again, compare it to what I missed. Okay, I didn't miss anything this time. Okay, now how is it for each other bullet point? And I try and get to a point where I can actively recall as much as I can to a point where I feel like, okay, I feel super comfortable with my knowledge at this point. I feel like there's not much more I could do to prepare. Let's go ahead and take it. That's kind of how I prepare for it. Yeah. It's just, I guess it's just waiting for that feeling of, I don't know what else I can do to prepare for this. I feel like if I just keep reviewing, I've hit the point of such low diminishing returns that, you know, more and more review is not going to do much for me. Time to take it and see what happens. And so far, so good.
Yeah. It's interesting how many people, their first metric is boredom. And I think that's hard to imagine at the beginning of the curriculum. I don't think it's something that most of us used for those first couple of courses, maybe. But as you go on, you become more calibrated with what's expected of you and more calibrated with the, you know, how the study guide reflects the actual assessment and, you know, what level of detail you're expected to know from the curriculum. So it's like in the beginning you have, you know, you do whatever you can. And then as you go on and on, just the feeling of boredom is almost enough to tell you that you're ready for an assessment.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you know, saying it out loud, it sounds terrible, you know, studying becoming boring. Cause I mean, some people studying might be boring as it is. For me personally, like I love it. I love learning about this stuff and it's, It's funny. It's such a contrast to how I felt in university, learning about, you know, biology and physiology and things like that. That stuff bored me to death. This stuff, it's exciting. I love learning about it. So when I get to that point of boredom, being like, okay, like I'm bored studying this stuff. I've reviewed it so much. That's when I'm like, okay, I feel pretty good. Obviously there's a bit more nuance to that, you know, again, you know, being able to actively recall and gauging my understanding and how well I can talk about these things. And actually that's probably another good point as well, is if you can, talk about the concepts in a very fluid manner with, you know, precision of language, to someone else and almost like teach them about it. I think that is a pretty good way to gauge how prepared you are. Cause if you can teach it, I think that, you know, displays a pretty, good mastery of the material. So if you can, you know, even be another student, it could be a friend, it could be your partner, you know, whoever, you know, say, hey, can I borrow, you know, 20, 30 minutes of your time, or, you know, what, 10, 15 minutes if you're just explaining, you know, a short concept, you know, whatever else, let me talk about this to you. Obviously someone who understands material as well might be a little bit better because they can give you feedback, you know, how well you're able to talk about it. But yeah, in general, if you can talk about these concepts and talk about it well, then yeah, I think you're in a pretty good spot. I think writing articles about it as well, that's not too much for me. It's not something I've done. I'm not much of a writer. but yeah, if you can do either of those things, I think it's a pretty good indication that you're ready.
Yeah. Are you planning on doing capstone?
I am, yes.
Yeah, that's the plan. Do you have any ideas about like what you want to get into? I think a lot of people don't, but since you're a gamer, I'm just curious if you have any. I mean, your hobby is in software, right? Do you like want to get into software with like some gaming?
I think that would be pretty cool. I also think it'd be something maybe I'd like to keep separate. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, it's still quite further along. I think something that's kind of stood out to me is dealing with performance, you know, how well code performs and how improving performance in an app. So I had the opportunity to sit down with a friend of mine and see what his life was like on the job, you know, day to day. So I got to hang out with him, got to see what he did on his laptop. And he works for a company called Square. And he primarily deals with improving the performance of the different apps they have. So I think they have like a restaurant app, you know, POS app. And you know, every time a new version of the software comes out, you know, performance can change, things can slow down. And part of his job is to identify where those performance issues are coming from and fixing them. And seeing, he gave me kind of an example of, you know, how he does it or some of the things that contributed to it. And seeing him go about, like, I guess, fixing it in a sense, was really, really cool. And it seemed just like a giant puzzle piece to me. And he was showing me like all the different tools he had at his disposal, how he would go about doing it. All right, let's check for this. Okay, that's not it. Let's kind of go down the chain. And I was like, that's really, really interesting. And it looks really, really fun. So maybe something like that. But other than that, I'm open to whatever, you know, just one of those things that you put me in, coach, I'll do whatever. All of it sounds pretty fun at this point.
Right. Awesome. Well, I think it's great to hear from someone, especially someone who didn't really consider themselves a good student in, you know, a traditional setting, because we definitely have a lot of capstone grads and students who are transitioning, you know, maybe from a different tech sector or, you know, a profession that's, you know, somewhat adjacent to software. So I think sometimes people think that that's the standard, but we definitely also have people who, you know, weren't the best students or didn't really enjoy university or didn't even go to university. So it's nice to get perspective from someone who came from somewhere where they were like, oh, I don't really enjoy school, and to now is a spot lead and a smooth start lead. And, you know, I think an inspiration for a lot of students who are just starting out at launch school.
Yeah. Yeah. I know when I first started and hearing about, like, you know, all these different capstone grads and hearing about their backgrounds, and some of them had, you know, like PhDs in other areas, they had their masters in other areas. I was like, well, I definitely don't have that. So like, you know, at the beginning, it was really tough to imagine myself in this position that I'd be even, the capstone would even be an option. And now, you know, a year and a half later, where it, you know, it certainly seems attainable, you know, I'm still not quite there yet. You know, I still got a couple of courses to go, but, it's just really crazy to me that, year and a half ago, like, I didn't know if I can do this. And now a year and a half later, it's like, oh, well, you can, and looks like you're going to. So, you know, keep pushing.
Totally. Yeah. Keep it up. You're creeping up on Nick the engineer, which is really cool. I think it's crazy for students to think about that. You're getting close. So I can't wait to see where you go. I'm sure it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see what you do. And I hope the rest of CORE goes well for you. I hope you get to participate in Capstone and that you find your dream job.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Yeah. I never thought I'd be referred to as an engineer outside of video games. So. Thinking about that, it's like, all right, that's pretty cool. I think I could live with that.
Yeah, right. Awesome. Thanks for sharing your time today, Nick. Thanks for being really open about getting a not yet and being willing to share your story.
Oh, much appreciated. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. This was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, great. Okay, bye.
Bye.